Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 228. And there was no TV show named 228, sorry Dave.
I can't think of any. No. Can't get that lucky. We've already had two in the 220s.
So unfortunately, Josh is not here with us, but he is joining us via the power of the internet. Just so cool. Yes. Apparently, he thinks he is Fred Van Lente and can call into the podcast.
Coming in through the power of the internet? Like once you posted the podcast?
Well, okay. But
yeah, I was going to say, aren't we all usually just phoning it in anyway?
Yeah, very true. Adam. It's like you're here. See? So I'm calling I'm calling McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
All right. Josh calling all the way from Ohio.
Sure this time?
In drinking beer.
Great. You'll be slobbering by the end.
Podcast.
Yeah. Well, only due to spillage issues. And there was giggling, so no giggling. Wait a minute. I violate that just about every podcast. But I will not be violating that this podcast.
We'll see if we can get that. Get you to break.
The goal is to get you to giggle.
It's a goal, yeah. Okay.
That's a weird goal.
You're going to start tickling me.
Wow, this went off like real quick.
Stop it, Dave.
As usual.
So, Pat.
Yeah.
What great news do we have?
There's not a lot of news, but a couple things.
Has Marvel announced two more events?
Not yet.
Okay.
They got to at least do issue number one.
And not necessarily.
Necessarily?
Celery.
Okay. Anyway, Preacher got picked up for a second season.
Saw that. I was honestly a little surprised. I wasn't sure if it was going to.
I want to watch that. And I've recorded every episode.
I've watched them all.
I just haven't had time to sit there.
It's not bad, but it's not the book.
Okay.
And it's kind of way off the book now.
Did they do the book, though?
No, I get that. But
no, I'm asking.
It's just they're not even following like the basic structure of the book.
Okay.
They're using the characters of the book, and that's about it.
Kind of like their own story.
I understand that this is kind of like a prequel to the book.
Maybe.
What read is that I haven't read. I never read Preacher.
Oh, okay.
But they were saying, you know, the comic is more like a road trip kind of thing, and in the series they're foregoing the road trip and they're kind of bringing the characters to him.
Right, and they might get there. The thing is, in the book, basically the way it starts is there's a creation called Genesis, which is the child of a demon and an angel had a baby, and they contained it, and it broke out and went down into Jesse Custer, and the power of it entering him as he was preaching to his congregation killed his entire congregation. So he is basically, the entire book is him going to confront God for what happened. And it's his search for God. And while he does have, you know, the power of God, you know, he can speak that, which he doesn't use very much at all. He uses it far more in the TV show. The TV show, that none of that happened. And he just it came into him, and now he has the power of the voice of God, whatever he says commands people to do. So it's just kind of doing that, and I realize it's going things, but the fact that everything's staying in the one spot where it was kind of a road trip where they went and did different things. So they might hit some of the story beats, but it just seems like the main premise of the show is different from the book.
As someone who's never read the book, I really enjoy the show.
Okay.
Like, yeah, maybe if I read the book, I
haven't read it in at least 10 years, probably 15 years, long before I even thought of opening the store. Well, not thought, but before I opened the store. So I did sit down to try to reread it. I basically reread the first issue. And
how does it hold up?
Oh, fine, just fine. I mean, art-wise, it's Steve Dillon. You know, nothing's changed with that. The story's fine. It's probably maybe the coloring might not be right, just because a lot of the Vertigo coloring.
That's what it is, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so no.
At some point, I want to check it out.
Yeah, well, I have them if you're interested.
Well, I've been getting caught up this week while I'm away, so.
Good. I've actually brought all my books back and put them on the shelf.
So. And Trisha Helfer was As the mom in Lucifer.
What's she? The name is familiar,
she
but
was
I don't.
On Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, she was six.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've never seen Battlestar Galactica.
Neither have I, but now I know who you're talking about. Because I'm hearing the name going, it's familiar, but I don't know why. But yeah, I never watched that either.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
I really like that show. I think I'm the only one here who's watching.
No, I watched it. Oh, okay. I've watched it.
I loved BSG.
No, Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Oh, Lucifer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
I really enjoyed the way they did that with, it's a different take on the devil. That's for sure.
I didn't check it out because I heard it was just a police procedural, which
it is, but there's some more story, involved with it. Yeah. That's the main structure of every episode is the whodunit, but then there's a lot of like iZombie. I don't know if you watch that.
I like that a lot.
Right, where it's kind of the murder of the week, but then you have the ongoing story with
Max Rager.
Max Rager and also the other guy, I forget his name, who's
her boyfriend.
No, the guy who was selling the brains to the people.
Yeah.
So you have those ongoing stories, but each episode is a different murder mystery. So, but no, it's been decent. And yeah, the role she's playing is going to be pretty darn cool, the way it ended. Lucifer is not in hell, and something broke out. And they're like, oh my gosh, what's something that could have broken out of hell that actually scares God? And then they say, Mom. It was just like, ooh. So,
yeah.
That was like the last line, the last word, and then, credits, and that was the season finale.
That's the way it should end. Once you watch it more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it was good.
That's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Well, man, Marvel has been putting out all these little teaser images for the the post, and I keep getting them, I keep trying to post them on Facebook, but man, some of them are just dumb. Like, the one that they did today was Jessica Jones, and then the alternate was Solo. It's like,
huh?
Who knows who any of these people are?
Well, Jessica
they
Jones.
They had one with Slapstick.
Yeah, I didn't like that only because...
Slapstick,
Yeah.
Like, it's been in the
Deadpool. Yeah.
What are these teasers for? I haven't seen
it. It's for their next event. It's called Divided. And then it has, two characters, and they're, both exploding at the bottom, but it's, top and bottom, like a playing card, like a face card.
They have, nothing to do with
no.
each other whatsoever.
Why can't they just calm down with these freaking events?
Well, can't they finish Civil War 2?
How many issues? Were two issues in a Civil War?
Yes.
Well, they haven't even announced the delays yet.
The next event? Freaking
you're gonna jinx it. But my yeah.
You
so
had your party yet.
Yeah, exactly. but yeah, and it's all these very odd characters. So I just feel the difference is where DC with all these new number ones, I feel is being pretty inclusive. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you'll come join us. We're on a new thing. Marvel's going, we're going to find the most obscure characters to make you go, I don't know who these people are. I don't know if I want to read this. Yeah. And they still, we don't know who died yet. So.
Well, we know who it isn't. We know it's not Slapstick. We know it's not Jessica Jones.
We were all so worried about Slapstick.
Died. My interest.
Yeah.
Your interest.
Come on now, haters. But no, slow down. How about you hype the crap out of Civil War 3 where someone dies? But on the flip side, hey, we're getting in my notes now. Collins rants. I got a bunch tonight.
Nice.
Monday, they spoiled Captain America 2 and explained how...
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't want to say
Axel Alonso
about that.
Was on comicbook.com explaining everything. It's like, it's 2 days before the book ships, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, you complain that retailers leak everything.
You're doing
You're destroying everything. It just it makes me crazy.
Axel Alonso, though. I don't really know why they put him in that position. Like, it's not worth it.
Someone had to be.
Well, it is kind of funny because when he took over, he came over from Vertigo, and that was a big steal for Marvel at the time. And then he was in charge of the X office, and then when Quesada left, they promoted him. But the X books under his tutelage were a disaster.
Well. Yeah.
Not a disaster sales-wise, but just didn't make sense, and, it just...
What's different?
Well, right, and it hasn't changed, but...
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know who else to put in charge, but I just, yeah. But yeah, just stop spoiling your own things. And
the worst part is, like, last month or, hell, at this point, it was 2 months ago when the first one came out, we're like, it's a gimmick.
It was the end of May. Okay. Yeah. It just seems a lot. Yeah. It's been 5 weeks. That's why it seems really long.
It's a gimmick. We know it's a gimmick.
Right.
And you got him and Tom Brevoort. No, it's not a gimmick. Right. It's really Steve Rogers. It's, guys, it's a gimmick. Well, we know you haven't really made Captain America a Nazi.
Yeah.
That's how they try to defend something. They're just like, nope, it's not. But when it comes out, it is, and they're just like, oh, you know.
What do you think? Gotcha. Comics. Yeah. So it's just, yeah. It's like, okay, guys, nobody's believing you.
Nobody's going to believe
after
you.
The pizza comment where nothing changed, or it did change, but then it didn't change.
No, what changed is Brevoort got a pizza after he was done with that.
Crazy status quo shifting, you know, twist, and then within one issue, oh, but here's what's really going on.
Yeah. Nothing really changed. Although in Ultimates, they know something changed, but nobody's reading Ultimates. So, I mean, not that it's a bad book, but my problem with Ultimates was it was basically the third version of Mighty Avengers that hadn't been doing well.
Okay. And none of them were really Ultimate characters, are
they? No, none of it. They just took, used the name.
So, yeah, what Ultimate character is left? Are there Miles?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing, yeah.
But, yeah, so just stop spoiling your own books, please. Let people read it and find out. And then my other problem is Uncanny Inhumans 11, which came out today, which is the first appearance of Mosaic, who is the main character in this post-Civil War II event. And books this morning were selling for $30 on eBay, copies. And Marvel was already sold out, actually announced the second print yesterday before I had received my books. They had announced the second print because it had sold out. And I'm just like, okay. So I understand it's a first appearance and people are trying to gobble them up. And, you know, whoever, you know, some stores found out early. Well, they had to have found out early because Marvel announced that it was. Nobody had copies to know that it was his first appearance. It wasn't in the description or anything. But so that tells me Marvel didn't overprint.
No, they
haven't. They knew that this was the first appearance of some new character who is going to be in their next event because they've also released that. And I'm just like, so great. So sadly, Uncanny Inhumans doesn't do great for me. And so now any shelf copies I have for the people who just come in and buy off the shelf
are gone.
By the people coming in
speculating
to get the books to put them online. And then I'll get, they announce a second print. That's great. I'll have it in a month. And in a month, and I will say the issue was good, and it is almost a very important part of Civil War II. A lot happened in there that's going to have an impact. But now the people reading that book aren't going to get it.
Behind for a month.
Because they didn't know they had to read that book, and they now have to wait because, you know, nobody had, you know, a shelf full of copies. That's why a guy contacted me. He's like, I need two copies of this. I'm like, I don't have them. It's like, oh, you know, what do you mean? I'm like, I sell 5 or 6 copies of this book. It's not like I'm ordering 50.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not Batman.
Yeah, but, I mean, if I'm only selling 5 or 6 of issue 10, why am I going to order 50 of 11 for no apparent reason?
Yes.
It feels like you're going through this a lot more and more lately.
Well, it's like, it is intentional on their part. Since they knew this was going to be a big thing, why not print double so that the books are out there and I could have more in this week or next week?
Because they want to be able to say, we sold out.
Right.
So and popular.
But when you sell out before stores even receive the books, that's not really showing demand.
That's not helping.
That's true.
No.
You know, that's not saying these are selling through great.
It's showing you're underprinting.
Yeah. So it's just very frustrating. And that's one thing I was talking with Jermaine about. Just basically saying, you know, stop feeding the speculators. You know, great, now this book is going to be selling for big bucks on the aftermarket. And he's like, you know, why don't you pull them off the shelf and put them on eBay? I'm like, no, because that's not the game I play. You know,
Yeah, you could do that, but
other stores do that. I remember I was telling him when I, Cap died 6 months after I opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard stories that another store had pulled them all off the shelf, marked them up to 10 or 15 bucks a piece, and had them behind the counter. I'm like, but what is that? That gives you instant gratification. That gives you the money there. But your customers who came in to buy it, and now it's not on the shelf, and they're paying a jacked up price.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what if I had that as part of my pull list and you did that, mm-hmm. I would not be happy with
well,
it.
Maybe those people got theirs, absolutely. But the people, yeah. I mean, trust me, there's a lot of people that come in every week and get the same books, but they don't have a pull. They just like to walk the shelf and get them.
Yeah, and I was that way for a long time.
Yeah, and it's fine.
You, in a way, because then they see more that's out there than the people.
Right, because I remember one guy, he just kind of stopped coming. I don't know what happened. But he used to walk the wall and then finally did a pull list, and then he would literally just walk in, walk up to the counter, get his books and leave and never look at anything else. I'm like, well, that's
not the point of the pull list.
Right. Yeah. I that's not what I want either. I mean, I'm happy to sell them books, don't get me wrong.
But you want to go look.
That has to be rare for people to do, though.
Yeah, there's a couple, there's quite a few that do that.
I always feel like if I don't walk the wall there, I don't see what's new, what might be more interesting. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know.
Oh. And sometimes my pull list is missing something. And walking the wall reminds me.
I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
Wow, that was a look.
Tim's doing the pulls now, especially. I mean, I might do the first half of the alphabet, but by the time we're getting to Smith, that's totally Tim.
Actually, mine's right more often than Pat's is, and Pat's a K.
Wow.
Well, Pat's is stuff that's not on his list that I forget to pull.
Is it because Pat's a D?
No. It's because maybe I forgot to add it to his list, or he didn't tell me to add it, even though it was something he always got. So,
yeah.
Things happen.
Mine is always right.
There you go. Well, yes, because Dave emails me
weekly,
every week,
except for the Badger.
Right,
that wasn't
right.
His fault.
Well, I'm going to have to fess up. I got one copy of Badger.
Oh,
and, actually, no, I've got one
and the squeaky wheel got the Badger this week. So
okay,
squeaky.
So
I don't think I ever busted chops over Badger.
Pat Squeaky Wheel Kelly.
Yep. Baron called me a whiner, so I'm all right with that.
I think it's the same thing, just a nicer way to say
it. Shut up, Josh. No, it isn't.
All right. I'm going to eat my lemon Oreo and drink my beer then.
Great. Now I'm hungry. Thanks. Jerk.
No, I'm hungry.
Actually, Sandy went. She got these lemon ice cream sandwiches at Giant Eagle, and the cookie part is like graham cracker. Oh,
well,
they were really, really good.
Cream.
Yeah, they were really good.
That does sound good.
Yeah, it was very good. There's an edit here in the podcast. I normally don't do this, but something kind of crappy happened to me this week, and I kind of went off on it for a little bit. On the podcast, and afterwards I kind of decided I just wanted to let it go. So it was about a 20-minute conversation that I kind of cut out here. So just a little bit of an edit. I couldn't find a good spot to really splice it and didn't make sense, but I didn't want you going, what the heck happened there? So if you come in, I'm happy to talk about it here in the store. I just kind of didn't want it out on the internet. That's all. Thanks.
I was thinking when you were gone next week, we were going to have a more E-rated version of etiquette. Where we'd have to explain certain things to people that didn't get the message when you did it nicely.
No.
That's what I thought this was about.
No, not that. But yeah. I am just talking with Jermaine about speculators, like the fact that every store in the country basically had to put up a sign, limit one per person on that Uncanny Inhumans. And it's just like, it's frustrating on our end because that's not how it's supposed to be. I want to sell books to people that want to read them. I don't want to be the wholesaler so the guy can take it, put it in the parking lot, take a picture, and sell it for $15 online.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be the store that takes things off the shelf and puts them up for $15 online, like other ones that we know.
You wanted it so it's something that somebody comes in and enjoys.
Right. And then I'm hearing, I got in 100 of these. Da-da. Well, but you didn't know you were going to, it shouldn't be a game having to order based on what we think is going to happen. You know, what if the person doesn't die in Civil War 3, but actually 4, so I better order twice as many of that.
And you didn't know about this guy being in it till when? Like you were
Bleeding Cool broke
orders.
It Monday.
Yeah. So your order's already in.
Oh, my order
that,
was
so...
my final order on that was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I said forget FOC. The books were literally in transport
right.
at that point.
I had bumped it a little bit for Civil War, but like by like 5 copies, and that didn't last long.
So in a way, Marvel's screwing you over in that too, because they should know that these type of people exist out there.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
They don't care because they're getting
their money. Right. Well, and then one thing I said to Jermaine was the problem is if I could have gotten more in. I would have ordered, maybe 20 or 30 extra copies because, and especially after reading it, it's very important to the story.
Yeah.
always bothers me too. If you know you're in the middle of an event and something critical is happening.
Nobody read Civil War II, but in Civil War II, basically he kidnapped the Inhumans. So now the Inhumans are at war with Tony Stark. Well, you have Karnak. I'm going to, you know, spoilers, sorry. I don't know how many of you are reading it. But spoilers for Uncanny. Are you reading it?
Civil War, yeah.
No. But Uncanny and Humans 11. Anybody reading it? Okay. Sorry if you're listening. Go la, 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 earmuffs. But basically, so Inhumans have declared war on Iron Man, on Tony Stark specifically. And that because they have Karnak who can see the flaw in things... Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we don't go and attack him. That won't do any good. We hit him where it hurts. We hit him in his money. We hit him in his reputation. We hit him in that. And so that's what they do. They go through, they transfer out all his money through this Mosaic character who can inhabit people like Deadman. So he takes over his business manager who then goes and transfers all of his money to this numbered account in the Cayman Islands. Then they have... They get a hold, somebody hacks his computer. They have some computer guy who has no hands. He's got, like, metal robot hands. But he's able to bypass all of his security and firewalls and reveals all of his pictures and texts and emails and everything. And it shows him, you know, dating multiple women and the things he said about the different women. So now all the women hate him. And so all this, I'm sure, is going to have an effect on him coming up in Civil War. Mm-hmm. And... It just seems like it was kind of a major plot point to put in a book that then, by releasing that it was the first Mosaic, you knew the people reading the book were not going to get. The only people who are going to get these are the people who got to the store first, cleaned out the stores, flipped them on eBay, to people who also probably aren't going to read it, but are just getting it because it's the first appearance of this character. And the first appearance of this character is only important because they already announced he's going to be in the next event. So it's just Marvel created all this, but then I'm the jerk standing at the counter going, no, I'm sold out. I'm sorry. When are you getting more? In a month. What do you mean? You know, it's just...
Well,
you know,
they're expecting you to have this book.
Right. Yeah. And it's just, you know, now I'm the jerk who sold out, but it... You know, it's not a case, even just last week, I got more Captain America number ones in.
Yeah.
So I was able to get those, but when they announce before I even get the books that it's sold out, it's like, you know, to be honest, I'd even put in a reorder.
But it's a two-pronged problem. The first part is something that you said how many times before. If you want a book...
Yeah.
You need to ask for it. Well, no, but I mean...
But the thing is, you might not know you want it, you know.
No.
You know,
but that goes back to, you know, and Secret Wars was notorious for this, where stuff was happening off panel in the main book. It's like, oh, well, that happened in World War Hulk. What?
What happens a lot, I'll send the email out on Tuesday night. Somebody will see the list. They'll see a preview. They respond back. Hey, such and such looks good. Can you hold me a copy? So, but knowing that the book's already gone before that, it's like, well what's the point of this?
What you were saying, Marvel was expecting... that everybody is picking up
every book
every time, because if they're investing time, it's a story.
I counted again, their own
sales number should tell them.
Exactly.
I counted in the previews last month and this month. There were 32 books tying into Civil War. Nobody's buying 32 $4 books every month that they're not already getting.
Yeah.
It's too much. If it was six, if it was 10. You know, even like the DC events, you know, even though like there's one in the new previews that's going through the Bat books.
Right.
Okay, but it's like six issues. You know, it's not 32 issues a month.
Yeah.
Well,
but like when they did the Forever Evil tie-in.
It was just Justice League and the minis.
Right, but that's just it. If you didn't want to read about the Rogues, just don't get the Rogues book. Nothing happened in there that was critical to the main story. Nothing happened in JLA. It was critical. You found out what was going on with Stargirl and Cyborg, but nothing...
No, Martian Manhunter.
Oh, sorry, Martian Manhunter, weird. Yeah. But that's just it. Nothing critical happened that it was one of those, you absolutely have to read those books, where Marvel's kind of taking it the other way. And you know, again, this is what's turning me off about even reading a Marvel event. Because I'm not going to read 32 books. There's just it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Nope.
Convergence killed me, and I actually enjoyed a lot of those books. But it was like, I was dreading coming in here and getting that big stack. I'm never going to read all that.
And it's not like we're being haters about it. We've tried several of these Marvel events and bought all these crazy issues, and they seem to always start off strong, but the payoff is never there in the end.
That's the thing.
It's never worth the time or the money.
And it's been like that since, I'd say probably what I usually say is Fear Itself, because, like, that's when everything, like, they did the same.
That's when they said when everything changes, that's what they were talking about. Those our events now suck.
Yeah, it just, none of it, like, had a villain in it that you cared about, and it just, nothing kind of paid off in the end.
As much hate as I know it gets, the last really good event I think they had was Civil War.
I'm surprised it's actually, these events are still, like, going on.
I heard AVX was good.
AVX was good, but I think it had some problems. I mean, I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but the way they killed off Xavier, to me, was kind of dumb. You know, Cyclops is kind of a dick, but, like, they amped it up to 11. And just certain aspects of it, to me, just didn't ring true for what you had for the rest of the characters. But, you know, that's the other problem. You know, it got to the point where, like, okay, none of this is going to stick. Because even, like, at the end of Civil War, Cap's arrested, but he's not killed. Like, once Cap got killed, you could say, well, you know, that's not going to stick. But that didn't happen in the event. That happened after the event. And there were actually, you know, even today, there's stuff that occurred in Civil War that still rings true. You know, Spider-Man had exposed himself, so he had to make the deal with Mephisto. Yeah, Mephisto. So him and Mary Jane aren't married and never got married. Civil War happened, what, 10 years ago?
Yep.
In 2005, 2006, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's still true. Nothing that happened in Original Sin is true anymore. Nothing that, well, I guess Thor doesn't have his hammer, but that never made sense anyway, logically.
Well, they've explained that, right?
I don't know what he said to everybody.
No.
No, but there is no explanation you can give me that would be, he was worthy until something was whispered in his ear.
One thing I heard that was whispered was Fury whispered, "You are not a god."
That doesn't matter.
But then he thought he wasn't a god, he made him not worthy.
He wasn't a god. Donald Blake wasn't a god.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying.
So, I mean, but that's, you know,
yeah, why isn't he Donald Blake without the hammer?
They kind of went away with that the whole time.
Okay.
I think because they said that was a bit too ridiculous. So.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because it used to be if he didn't have the hammer long enough,
like,
he reverted.
Yeah, it was like a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that Trzynski run where he was in Oklahoma, he was a doctor in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. During Siege and all that.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Asgard over Oklahoma. That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
That's what Norman Osborn said.
Yeah.
Crashed it down.
Yeah.
What's Adelan over now?
What?
Isn't Adelan over Oklahoma now?
I thought it was in the East River.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, if it was over Oklahoma must be like, this sucks. Like, he's superhero. I said he's need to go somewhere else.
And don't they, like, block out the sun?
Yeah, pretty much. Everything should die.
Yeah, you would think. It'd block out the sun at least during certain hours. It's like Mr. Burns' machine.
Yeah.
Mr. Burns' machine. Okay.
Always goes back to Simpsons. Or South Park. So what else is going on, Colin?
Nothing. That's about it. I'm going to post some stuff. Because things are kind of spiraling out of control. All this stuff is happening in July, and in my head, it's not July. But the problem
is... it's not until Friday.
Exactly, but I'm going to be out of town. No, Saturday, I think, isn't it?
No, Saturday's the 2nd.
Friday.
Oh, that's right. But so all this stuff is happening in early July that my head is not... I know Doctor Who Day is coming up. I think that might be...
Who Day?
6th or the 9th or something.
Is that like a Bengals thing?
No. And then on the 13th, we have our midnight release, and DC announced that we can sell all their books during Marvel's midnight release party, which I thought was kind of funny.
How messed up is it going to be? I come in here for that and just buy DC books?
Well, no, here's the funny thing about that is Marvel is only letting us sell Civil War. They're not letting us sell their other books. Yep. They're not letting us sell their other books. Where DC kind of came through and said, yeah, you can sell all our stuff. It's like, I thought that was a nice moment.
I double dog dare you to just make it a DC event.
No, see, that's the problem. That's why, like, if on the Facebook page and everything, Marvel sends, you know, these promo images and, you know, PR press releases. That's what they're called. And I always post them because I'm trying to show I'm not a Marvel hater. Here's all this Marvel info. So, no, I'm going to make it. Well, here's the perfect thing. It's going to be Awake.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, so it's going. Yeah, so it's going to be a. So it's going to be a wake.
Was Pat's idea or Dave's idea?
No, it was Dave's idea.
I don't remember. Dave. That's there we go. We'll give it to Dave.
My idea.
I was.
Dave's.
So that could be fun.
I would have just said I would have called it an F Marvel, Welcome to Rebirth party.
Rebirth. We'll get a banner.
Sorry.
You killed Pat. You killed Josh, man. Sorry. Hang on, let me see here. Da, 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 da. Here we go. The nice thing is, let me see, I just want to see the books that are shipping that day. Sorry.
This is the only Marvel book you can buy, party. Come here at midnight for one book.
I don't want to.
Oh, no, they don't have it. God, why would you print that?
See, and that would make it hard. Like, it, you know, if you live here, it's not a big deal, but, yeah. You know, for a lot of people...
don't.
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, especially you see it on free comic book day, people coming in from West Virginia.
Just looking at that going,
they might have come in for.
Why would you print light blue
for the
on blue?
Because you could buy everything.
Yeah,
but if I could just buy one book.
Yeah, but so on the 13th, the books we'll have available at midnight at DC wise is going to be Action, Dark Knight Master Race hardcover, Detective, Flash, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, Rebirth. New Superman, Nightwing Rebirth.
That's a solid week.
Titans Rebirth, or Titans 1, I'm guessing, unless it's the Rebirth second print, sorry. Wacky Raceland number 2, Wonder Woman number 2. So yeah, it's a solid, nice, solid...
Did you say that they're going to release those as well, like they did for the midnight release of DC? Like, are they doing that for midnight?
That's what I've just been saying. DC's going to let us sell
those. That's why I was asking.
That's why I was reading the list of what's available at the midnight release. Short attention span theater. There we go.
Just give him a rubber band or something.
I don't listen to everything you say. Like, you don't listen to everything we say.
Right, but I'm reading a list of books that are available at the midnight release.
What you were asking, looking up. That's why I ask you.
Okay. After I had already read it. Well. Okay. But, yeah, so we have that going on. I'll get that all up on the thing. Yeah, Josh, here we go. Here's a little personal between you and me. We're filming the TV show on Friday, and he's like, oh, I'll rush to get it done so you can get it up. And I'm like, no, don't worry. I'll just forward your email on to Josh. He knows what to do. So... Because you do. Because you're the webmaster. He's the... Nah, he didn't say that. I mean, I'm sure he does, but yeah. I'm not disavowing
that.
Thanks,
Pat.
You're welcome.
That's fine. You can get my email, but I am not...
No, no, I'll forward it to you. No.
I am not.
I will do Comics Preview Theater. I don't care. Why do you have a problem doing voices... on the internet
because I can't make fun of it if I'm part of it.
Yes, you can.
I don't want to lose that ability.
Oh, yes, you can. You don't have to be detached to make fun of it.
It doesn't have the same impact when you're part of it as well. Then it's just self-deprecating.
See, I don't have a self-esteem problem. I can do that. It doesn't bother me.
But it's more fun if it's like, you know, if you're not involved.
See, I always think it's important to laugh at yourself, so.
No, I get that.
Ha, 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 I made an ass of myself. Ha, ha, ha.
That explains why everyone's laughing all day.
What?
See, that worked in my favor that time. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so that's all the ranting I have. We did have a question.
It was a good question, too.
It was. I forgot to look it up. Hang on a sec.
I forget what the question is.
It was from James. Sorry. I get too many emails.
What's your favorite thing about Sean Gordon Murphy?
Too soon.
There you go. I got it. Okay. With DC Rebirth off to a solid start, what character or team that hasn't been featured in one yet would you like to see given a Rebirth one-shot? It could be a lead into an ongoing mini or just be a standalone issue so anyone is on the table. FYI, I'd love a Saint Walker story about rebuilding the Blue Lantern Corps since Rebirth has emphasized restoring hope to the DCU. Ooh, okay. I tied that all together. Yeah.
I don't think it would sell, but it's a good idea.
Yeah. True. Yeah, I don't know if it would do any better than Lar Flees. So anyone? Adam, you go.
Metal Man. I'd like to see something more come out of Metal Man.
Pat?
I'm still waiting on Shazam.
Yeah. We did notice he is on the Rebirth
poster. Yeah, and the
family's
on the Rebirth poster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless that's just an old image they decided to use. So.
No, I can see him showing up in Justice League, but I'd like to see him get kind of his own deal, especially if they can keep it in the vein of Jeff Johns.
Well, it can't be an old image because Lex is in a Superman.
Yeah, and then they got the
Chinese. Well, they could have tweaked those.
They got the
too.
Chinese yeah, Superman. True. And
yeah, I'm just saying they could have tweaked those. But
what is the Chinese Superman's name?
Some Chinese name. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if maybe they said.
They have, but then they had to change it for some reason, but I don't remember. Okay. Dave?
This one in cell, but I would like to see an elongated man. Gene Loring, his wife, like a noir detective type series.
No, as ghosts or as alive?
Because
they made him ghost and then never did anything with that.
I know. I remember. After that, I was waiting forever to see them as ghost detectives, but dead or alive.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, can I change my name? Or my, can I change my,
yeah.
my answer?
Detective Chimp.
That's what I was thinking. Detective Chimp and Gorilla Grodd. Yeah. Monkey
yeah.
business.
Yeah.
There you go.
You get to follow that up, Josh. Oh, Josh left.
Uh-oh. Did Josh leave?
I don't know.
Why'd you kick Josh off?
I didn't kick him off.
He didn't call back.
He went to the fridge.
He had a better choice than you,
know
and
what
you kicked him out.
Yeah, fine.
I think Josh? You called Pat Detective
Chimp. I lost Josh.
I like how you did say, like, what is, like, can I change my name? And then you were just like, after that Detective Chimp, and I was like, it's taken.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go?
I don't know what happened because I heard you guys saying, did Josh leave? Did you kick him off? And I'm saying, sitting here saying, no, I'm still here. And then it disconnected.
Nothing on our end.
Because Colin kicked you off.
No. I did not touch
a
thing.
He did have a better choice than you.
So, Josh, what's your choice?
I have two. Is that okay?
Yes.
What if he said no?
Pick the better one.
Well, then I would have to pick one of them.
Huh.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I don't care.
So, Justice Society.
Yep.
Yeah.
Justice Society.
That's definitely been foreshadowed. One. So.
Yeah.
But so is the one my pick has been foreshadowed too. So.
The one that hasn't been foreshadowed or talked about, I would like to see, if done right, another Animal Man series.
Yeah.
So I just yep. love the yeah. Jeff Lemire Animal Man series.
That was. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Mine would be Legion. I think time's right. It's been on the back burner for long enough.
That has to be
been a long time.
Right. Well, Saturn Girl was in the
Rebirth.
In the Rebirth special. So yeah, no, but that's one I think it's time to get a new generation onto Legion. I think it's been fun. Well, there was a series in New 52, but I only think it lasted like 12 issues.
Did you see they get a Lego, the Justice League Lego and eight they're doing with the Legion.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a movie that just came out that had them in it as well, so I bet that's why they're using that.
But I, you know, that's a way to.
Who would have expected a Lego
kids.
Movie for kids that has the Legion in it? Like, they're just like, who's this? Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
But, yeah, and I wouldn't mind, you know, I'll do a second one. I'd love to see, like, the Authority, like, the real Authority.
Okay.
Because they.
The Authority versus, or the Authority meets Archie soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to work. Just for Archie. But I just really love the old Authority. Yeah, it never really did much when they had it, like that big long run. Then Stormwatch didn't work. So I just love to. I'd love to see like one of the old creators come on it, and I don't know if they'd be wanting to revisit it.
Yeah, but when they did that, like, with Swamp Thing and all that, it didn't turn out
well. Yeah, but I mean, like, Mark Miller did it, Ed Brubaker did it, Warren Ellis created it. You got to think maybe in all this time they go, you know what, I got a story that I'd like to tell with those guys again. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, we just had Midnighter in the DCU.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, just that was a book I just always fondly remember, and I'd love to see it done right
again.
Could
you see it as an ongoing, though?
Oh, it could be. Who knows?
You know, that's a question.
That's one I need to reread, too.
Now that we're out of the New 52 and we're into Rebirth,
mm-hmm.
the Wildstorm characters, yeah. are they, mm-hmm. like, is
yeah,
Grifter
they
still part of the DC?
Probably,
or?
Yeah. It could be, or they could separate them back and put them back into the Wildstorm universe, yeah.
I don't see them taking them away now.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
Well, especially after he was such a big part of Future's End.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That seminal classic.
Well, not seminal classic, but it's like you can't just disregard him.
Hey, like, you know.
You can.
Yeah, I think they could.
Those issues were actually good.
He fell off
there
the
pizza. There were good parts of it, but yeah overall.
The last issue certainly left a sour taste in my mouth, but it had a decent run for a while there.
A bad piece of pizza.
Yeah,
that
sour might
be the
pizza.
Biggest anomaly.
Bad cheese.
Because it had so many, like, superstar creators on it.
Yeah.
And it just, they did not mesh well together.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us enjoyed it, though, until the end.
I enjoyed it, but, like, there were just some things that just...
didn't jive?
I guess it just went on too long. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't need to be a year-long story the way they
did
it.
If it were half the size, like half the number of issues, I think it would have been much better if it were a much more, you know, tightly told story.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's what World's End did, and I think it did a better job.
I agree.
World's Batman or Robin Eternal.
But Batman Eternal, which was the same length, I thought knocked it out of the park. Now, granted, there were several.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say so. But, you know, there were maybe, you know, a half dozen issues that were more or less filler. But for the most part, every issue was really good.
I'd say that. Like, I
was kind of the architect of things, though.
Yeah.
Well, and I think when you're doing a story like that, that has to be the model you use, where one person's really in charge, and, you know, you got your different parts. But that was the other thing. When they did the Batman Eternal, you would have an issue dedicated to Tim Drake and the Nanites, and you know, then the next issue wouldn't have anything to do with him.
I still
don't
know how that tied
in. Spectre and
what? Like the whole Nanite thing. I don't even remember how it, like, tied into the main conclusion at all.
I don't think it did tie in.
I don't think it really did. I think
it had something
to
do with. I mean, it tied in, but I.
I think it was one of the extra things that was going on that Batman had to look into, kind of to break him down a little bit before he took on the main objective. But weekly, I think the best weekly that they put out was Batman and Robin Eternal. I think that was it. I think it wasn't. It didn't have too much to it, like too many issues to it. It was just enough.
Yeah.
Everything felt like it went together.
Yes. At World's End, like, it was good, but I think to really enjoy it, you had to have been reading Earth 2.
No, I disagree.
You
didn't, I wasn't reading
Earth 2. That's true,
Earth
you
10,
weren't, so.
And I enjoyed it. I think the one thing that Batman and Robin Eternal did really, really well, and as big of a Batman fan as I am, it's a shame I gotta say this, but the first thing I did was they took Batman out of the equation.
Yeah.
And that really brought the family together.
Because he overshadows everyone else.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's why I think by taking him out, that made the book stronger.
Yeah.
My favorite was 52 back in the day, the first weekly. I thought that was
solid.
Well,
yeah, the creative team.
Creative team. Yeah, Grant Morrison, Mark Waid, Greg Rucka.
Yeah.
I forget who the fourth
one
was.
Yes, so do I.
Was Johns on that?
I don't think it was Jim Johns. But I like how they did it there.
Azzarello, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think it was Azzarello.
It's been a long time.
But they had the four writers stick with the same characters throughout the entire run, and they didn't cross over with the characters they wrote each week.
Okay.
Because they had an Animal Man story. They were in space, and Elongated Man.
But you're just all about Elongated Man, Dave.
I am. And, man, that was a good book all the way through as Colin furiously searches for it.
I've never read that.
On the,
it's one of those things where I've seen it, and I, you know, I think part of the problem is I don't have the issues and I'm not going to collect.
It's good. It's like it like the show 24 because it takes week.
Is in real time.
It's in real time over the year and as Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, they're off doing something else, trying to find themselves again.
Okay.
And the other heroes have to kind of guard the arc.
This was after Crisis?
Yeah, this was after Crisis on
Infinite Earths?
I mean, Infinite Crisis.
Or Infinite Earths, okay.
Infinite Earths.
What do you mean, what's my problem? That's how people from Philly pronounce the planet. Earth. No, actually, it pisses off my wife when I do it, so I just get in the habit of doing it. So, no particular reason. We believe you, though, Colin.
Adam lost something. Yes, you did.
Well, the problem is you got Adam trying to alphabetize stuff, and that's a number, and that totally throws him off. So.
Oh, well. I give up. Yeah, because the 52, they just re-released it.
Is it the whole thing or is it multiple
trades? It's multiple, but I think it's going to be like three big trades.
Okay.
It came out, yeah, so we can't find it. Great. Yeah, so I don't know who the fourth, I'm sorry. Fail.
I'm going to see if I can find
it. Yeah, I thought I could find the book real quick if it had been where it's supposed to be.
Maybe somebody bought it today.
Possibly, because I did just get it back. I sold it and just got it back in. So, okay. Anything else? Yeah. Who wants to go first?
Josh.
Recent
you books.
There we go.
No. Let me go last, since I haven't had to read a whole lot. So.
He's had a lot.
Yeah, but you're drinking, so the longer we wait, the worse you're going to be.
No, let me back clean up. I'm calling from remote. Give me a break.
Yeah, Pat.
Okay.
Jerk.
Whatever. Colin?
Okay, nobody else wants to go. Action 958.
It was Jeff Johns, I'm sorry.
Was it? Okay. Nice try, Adam.
That's what
your
I
Google
said.
Okay. Good job, Adam.
Yeah.
Next, did you sell the book? We'll figure that out.
I don't know.
After
I'll this. Check the computer. Action 958, second part of the Superman versus Luthor versus Doomsday.
With Clark.
With Clark, that nobody quite knows who he is.
It's Clark.
Really good. I'm enjoying the back and forth between Superman and Lex, totally not trusting each other.
But knowing they got
to
work together.
Right, to stop this. Lois totally flashing back on what happened the last time he fought Doomsday and not ready to lose him again.
Well, I like how she was trying to explain it to John without explaining what really happened.
Right. And also, because not wanting John to go flying out there.
How'd that
work out? Yeah. But no, I think this has been great, and I'm happy there's a Superman book I'm enjoying. But it also, in a sense, just feels like a Superman book. It's not, oh, here's Jeff Johns and John Romita trying to rebuild Superman. It's just, hey, here's a Superman book.
The character's the focus.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm very much, I want to see where this new Superman goes. But no, I'm very much enjoying this.
Well, they've even made the Super Lex interesting.
Yes. Where he's not necessarily evil.
But he's not really good either.
No.
He kind of jumps the threats.
A lot of gray area.
Yeah.
Just because he thinks he can do it. And then certain areas he doesn't do that. Like he stays away from things and lets him do it. Like Superman do what he needs to do as well.
But I get his motivation in this. Him buying the Daily Planet just to get the cape, though.
Yeah.
That was a Lex thing to do.
Yeah.
That's him trying to be good, but at the same time, his personality overrides.
But it goes with his
intent.
Outfit too. I mean, it worked, So
no more green and purple for him.
Yeah,
he's trying to do something good, but his ego trumps everything.
Yes. Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting though where that heads. I thought they didn't stick though with the story of him being on Apocalypse for very long. Though. Mm-hmm. They might go back to it a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Then kind of following the same vein, Detective Comics, which is the training of the Bat Kids, I guess.
It was okay.
Yeah. It was a little weird with the Danger Room. Yeah.
I kind of liked it. I like the idea of them using Clayface in that way.
I like him going, "Hey, you could have asked," you know, instead of just kind of using his thing.
I like his character in this.
I like him a lot.
I like and, how he was like, "Can I borrow this thing?"
Yeah, it's certainly not a character that I know anything about. I know nothing about Clayface.
So, I am
enjoying that.
I think all you really need to know is he was an actor who got, like, messed up.
Right, but, like, his personality, like you said, can he borrow those power?
He had an ego, if I remember. He was very vain about stuff, and that's what happened him becoming
But there's
a
been
monster.
Multiple Clayfaces.
That, too, yeah. So, right, he's one of those characters that is kind of all over the place.
Well, like that, and then you have the relationship between, was it Tim and Spoiler?
Yeah, that's always that's
right. No, but so you have that, but then you also throw in the orphan.
Cassandra comes in, and
I like the conversation between Tim Drake and Bruce as he was talking about, like, why am I here? Why did you make me, like, wear this? Why am I wearing this costume? That was really good.
Yeah,
I like this current Bruce.
You know, that was in Justice League, was the buying the Daily Planet.
Yes,
your merging storylines. Yeah, it just dawned on me. I'm like, that didn't happen in action. That was in Justice
League. I knew it, but I was actually thinking it was a Rebirth issue.
Okay.
And he's right. It was Justice League.
Which should have come out
before.
I wrote
it on my notes.
But yeah.
Now, the one thing... So, in the Batman Rebirth issue, he gave Duke a completely different outfit. And he's like, you're going to be something else.
Right.
Why didn't he do that with Tim?
I think that was his whole explanation, though, what he was saying. Like, he never really felt like... They're going with the New 52 kind of feel with this, that he was Red Robin. That he never really felt like a Robin. So he wanted him to become that.
Right, but there is a Robin right now. That's the thing. You still have Damian sitting there.
It's not that he's making him a Robin. It's that he's trying to show him that he always felt that he was
a
Robin.
It's more of a jester.
A jester? No, that's
a jester. That's the Joker.
He's trying to bring him back into the family. Like, he feels like Tim has kind of separated himself off and built a wall. And he's trying to show him that, no, you didn't have to do that. I always considered you to be, you know, just as much of a Robin as anyone else.
Yeah. I like
that. It's almost like a father-son kind of thing.
Yeah. You know what? You know why I think I like that the most? It's just I've always liked Tim Drake and, like, the story where it came back after Crisis when his Tim's father dies and Bruce adopts him. And it was a really cool moment. Like, between them. And I felt like this was kind of like that moment where he was just trying to... He is almost closer as a father figure, I think, even than Dick Grayson. Like,
well, that's what I was going
to say. Dick Grayson was always, like, more like a brother, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where Tim was always kind of... I don't know. Like, he wasn't quite his son, but it was close. It was before the idea of Damian.
Yeah.
So they kind of made him into this was going to be his son, really. Instead of, and he wasn't a ward in this. They made that point that he actually just adopted him. And then Jason, they never really did anything with. You know, he was more just like Dick Grayson. But I don't know, the moment, though, of this where he was just talking about it and, you know, just saying, you know, this is why he wants him here. And it showed a lot of trust in Batman.
That's what I was going to say. This is a different Batman. It's like he's matured because he didn't trust Dick the way he trusts Tim, and, you know, at this point, you know, Dick is, he's been Batman, you know, he's done a lot of different things, and this is a different trust level, which I thought was interesting.
I feel like it's, I agree with what you're saying about Batman, because I feel like this is the best, like, he has been reborn before, he's died and come back, but in this, after, whatever the story
Endgame.
Was it Endgame? After that, like, and he comes back after that, and it's almost like he is reborn. And it goes from what was going on before that, where the rest of the family was kind of was disagreeing with him on so many things. And now he's looking at it differently and saying, I have to change the way I am to be better. And I think that's what they're trying to make this story.
But with that said, he's not.
I don't think he will either, because I don't think he can with Batman, otherwise his character isn't Batman.
With him and Kate and all that, there's clearly still a lot of conflict where there's trust issues.
Now, there's something interesting in this issue where that the antagonist in this these issues, it almost is like the video game, Arkham Knight. Like, it has this... It's he's training them to go up against basically a Batman-like army.
Yeah, the colony.
And I've never seen that done with Batman before, where he's actually going up against, like, a military. He usually goes up against, like, cults and stuff gangsters like that, or crazy and, people or gangsters, but an actual military that might come in thinking, I don't know what they're going to do. I almost feel like they're thinking, like, they can do it better than him, but I don't know. It just, it's an interesting idea, so I'm in on this book. I really do. I think they have...
Is it me, or does this army have some similarities in look to the Bat Gordon suit? Like, specifically, like, with the ears?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I wonder if there's something to that, if they're backed by...
Wayne Powers?
Yeah.
It would be cool, I think. But we'll see. I mean, I do. I think they did a good job, like, picking creatives for, like, all of these books so far. But Batman, they really did pick good people to write it. So we'll see where it goes. What else you got, Colin?
Next, Flash. Honestly, I don't remember what happened in Flash.
There was another new Flash.
This book started, it was like talking about a little bit at the beginning of where he gets his powers. And it shows that a police officer came in to help him when all this happened. And this same police officer had a problem going on that he wanted Barry's help with.
His brother.
With finding somebody who killed his brother. And he was losing faith in police. Very similar to Barry. Because, you know, Barry's mother was killed. They blamed his father. He was starting to lose faith in the system. And then it jumps forward to present. And let me think. Basically, I took it from this issue. It just shows that Barry
Allen by lightning,
tries to do, like, way more
than he can.
And it almost, like, backfires on him. Now, I don't think a lot happened in the middle part of the story, besides him meeting up with Iris and his nephew, Wally.
Yeah.
Which they're definitely trying to push them together now.
He gets an alarm saying that there's a fire going on, but also his friend, who's a detective now, who tried to save him originally, transporting something for Star Labs. So he had to either save him or save the people in the fire. He chooses the fire, you know, because they can handle themselves for a little bit. He goes and tries to rescue the fire, but he thinks he overshot it on time because the group that is stealing from Star Labs tries to shoot... the detective, his name is August, I believe.
Yeah,
the
detective. Sounds right,
yeah.
And he tries to shoot the detective, this guy, and Barry tries to catch the bullet. But at that time, lightning strikes the guy. And basically, at the end of this, makes you feel like that he has the ability to tap into the Speed Force. It was a good issue. I like the rebirth issue better, but I like this. I think this series... I think they're starting off pretty good, so I'm going to stick with that.
It probably felt a bit off because the Rebirth issue focused a bit more on the events in Rebirth and more like issues with the universe.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it was them saying that they're going to let Wally and, you know, the Titans focus on that, and so it was kind of like a reset where you just have the, you know, a day in the life of Barry Allen almost.
Which is actually very similar to when New 52 Flash started. You kind of thought, that's the reason why I picked up Flash and New 52, because I thought it was going to be important because of what happened in Flashpoint. And it didn't stick with that.
Yeah.
So that has a tendency, I think, to backfire, having something like that. But I think this book can hold on its own. I think it has a classic kind of Flash feel to it. That I think it can still work. Where the other one art.
I'm not sure about the art.
I agree. I think the art is a little. I don't know.
I didn't dislike it, but I don't know if I like either. I'm kind of like
it's different. Yeah, I can't really say why I don't.
The face is very angular.
Did he use some Spider-Man? I know I've seen his art before.
Probably during the time when they were changing everything.
Well, no, it was Cam and Coley or something like that.
Maybe similar to Cam and Coley.
No, Cam and Coley's on Spider-Man now.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen it before. I don't know where.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's who did it.
Yeah, go check and see what that is if you want, because that is a good one. But the criminals, I forgot to mention this, the criminals that were...
No, it's Di Gian Giacomo or something. Sorry. No, it's a very long name.
Yeah, I know. Just like... too late to be
one. I know. Hey, I don't know.
The criminals that were robbing the Star Labs thing, Detective August noticed that the uniform symbol on their uniforms matched something that was left at the crime scene where his brother was when his brother was killed. So it kind of ties to that, whatever he's dealing with here. But I thought it was decent. I thought it was pretty good. I'll continue on this one.
Am I out?
Same here.
Yeah.
Last one, DC-wise, Wonder Woman, which was basically her going to... She's searching for somebody, you don't know who. And then there were a lot of, like, flashback-type things. But the main thing was her going into this jungle trying to find someone. And it turns out she was looking for the cheetah because she can no longer find Thymascara. She's lost Thymascara.
Okay. Yeah. So as someone who doesn't read Wonder Woman, I had two problems with this. And I don't know... The problems I have may be easily explained, and it may be part of the whole story. But the way I understand it is it's Colonel Steve Trevor, United States Air Force, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was Master Chief Steve Trevor, which is a Navy rank. So not only did they not make him an officer, he's now enlisted, and he's in the wrong branch. And I'm wondering if that might be part of the whole lie thing. And then the other thing
is... Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Since when is that a Candy Black? And the director of whatever. I don't think it was supposed to be Argus, because when I first saw her, I thought, is that supposed to be a new design for Amanda Waller?
Right. I actually thought that, too.
Yeah,
I thought
same that's here. Who it was.
And then when they...
And they didn't mention, really, did they ever mention really a name until maybe later?
They either said Etta or Miss Candy.
Yeah.
And I think it was when she was talking to Steve.
I think like halfway through we saw her name.
And that's why I don't know. If it's part of the story, okay, that's... fine, except for someone, you know, like, I know enough about Wonder Woman to be dangerous, so I caught those things, but if I'm brand new to it, that, you know, important characters to her history are completely different than how you would remember them.
I don't know what the issues were with that, like, I don't know why it was like that, but I will say this, I liked how the characters were written and their interactions with each other.
I agree.
No, I enjoyed the book. Those two things to me stood out. Like,
well,
am I supposed to catch this or not?
I get what you're saying, because like as a newer reader, I don't think you'd pick up on some things that were in the book. And I think the Rebirth issue did a really good job, but this one, like, I think people will enjoy it more as a bigger story than just this one issue. But this one issue, it had enough to get you started. I think it didn't have anything that was like amazing.
No, it's a Halo prequel.
Hey, he's Master Chief.
Yeah, Steve Trevor is Master Chief.
There we go.
Who knew?
And Master Chief's a badass in Halo, so that's fine.
Does that mean Etta Candy is really Cortana?
Oh, man.
Mind blown.
That could be. Yeah.
Okay, next. Some books I know you guys probably didn't read. Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 10. It's the funeral for War Machine. And I did text you guys a picture as I was reading it, and it was so funny. Even Lytle came in. He's like, that was, like, totally racist. I'm like, yeah, it kind of was. Sam Wilson is sitting in the church, like, at a pew, face down, and I forget, somebody comes up to him and leads him back to a room and basically says, you know, what's his name?
Sam?
No, War Machine.
James.
Rhodey. Comes back and says, here's his family, and opens the door, and his family is Storm, Luke Cage,
Black Panther,
and Brother Voodoo.
It's like every single African-American hero in the Marvel family.
Yes, and then they even make a point that Blade couldn't be there. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, come on.
Wow.
I mean... what about all of his teammates that he's been with? And, you know, where's Pepper? And, you know, little things like
that. Because they're trying to.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not. Wow. Have you ever been to an all-black church for a black funeral?
I have not.
Okay. No. I did a funeral detail while I was in the Army, and I had to do one for, it was a World War II vet in a black church in the middle of the hood. So, I'm sure you've seen Animal House. You know the scene when they walk into the bar and the music stops and everybody turns? Mm-hmm. That's what it was like. I enjoyed myself more at that funeral than any funeral I've ever been into. Because, like, all the stereotypes, oh, my baby, and they jump. Oh, yeah, that all happens. It's really like that.
But, yeah, it just, so, it was just like, really? This is his family? It's like, not all of his teammates. I mean, what interaction did he ever have with Brother Voodoo? You know,
not we as comic book readers have not that had that much interaction.
So it just it just smacked of my god. Yeah, what has he ever done with Blade? You know, to consider him family above
from the X-Men,
all of
Tony.
Yeah, you know what about his West Coast Avengers guys? You know, so it just
was Miles there, or was he not allowed to be there because he's half?
He was there later at the funeral, and the eulogy was good, and all that stuff was good, but just that one scene was just
that was pretty bad.
Oh my!
It was.
It's bad because you're reading it, I'm sure, and you're just like, did they really go there?
That's exactly.
That's like
what?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was just like,
wow. Ugh. Who writes that?
That's Nick Spencer.
And
then the next thing, Civil War II, Choosing Sides, which is one of their little anthology books, and I didn't expect a lot out of it, and I was redeemed, and I... The first story, Declan Shalvey wrote and drew, it was basically Nick Fury versus S.H.I.E.L.D., who is now corrupting him.
Oh, which
it was
Nick Fury?
Corrupted.
You have to be specific.
Yeah, Nick Fury Jr. I think he was at the family scene, too, actually.
But,
yeah, he was in the picture.
I had the picture, I was going to say.
Okay, yeah, I texted them a picture. But it was fine. It was him fighting, like, rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents who are now Hydra, and, you know, Nick Fury at the end wins, because, you know, he does all this cool stuff with his cool tech. Which was fine, but had nothing to do with choosing sides in this battle. Second story was in Civil War I, it showed them using Ulysses' power to defeat a celestial attack. And then what this issue did was it wrote in everybody's favorite character into the battle, and getting, you know, like a wink from Captain Marvel and being made to feel like they feel part of the team. So who is this great character?
Gold Balls.
Close. I was not expecting that. Sorry. No, Night Thrasher.
He wasn't even drinking.
Night Thrasher from the New Warriors. Because everybody loves Night Thrasher. It's and it was just, Captain what?
I don't know.
And he's got a new skateboard that can do... And it was just, ugh. And then the third part was a damage control...
Oh, I thought it was Tony Nighthawk.
No, it was a damage control part that I didn't even read. So, yeah, I was not a big fan. It just... It was just... Eh. Sorry.
Oh, Misty Knight.
Who brought him back. It was. Yeah. I knew it wasn't Carol.
I don't know what she looks like. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Well, Misty Knight has
the
been...
The afro is what gives away
Misty
Knight.
Yeah, but remember the old Captain Marvel? I think
Yeah. No, Misty Knight's okay, because she and Cap have been teaming up. Sam Wilson, Cap. Yeah.
They were cool.
And then the other one was Totally Awesome Hulk, the other Marvel book I read. Which was basically just telling, because at the end of Civil War One, the end of Civil War Two, Carol goes and finds Bruce Banner because Ulysses had a vision that Hulk was killed them all. So it just says, she shows up and goes, Dr. Banner, which was weird because he's been missing in the Hulk book up till now. As far as I know, I only read the first one. But the whole point of the first one was he
you
was
mean
missing.
A totally awesome bitch in Super Hulk,
right? Because he was missing after this big thing, and then that's why Cho took over as Hulk because they needed a Hulk. Why I don't know. So in this one, it's all about Banner realizing that he no longer can be the Hulk. He gets angry, and nothing happens, and all this stuff, and just basically kind of ends with him going, "Yay, I'm not the Hulk anymore," which is totally foreshadowing him becoming the Hulk again. So not horrible, just not a lot to it. And then the last one I read was a Boom book that was really bizarre called Lucas Stand. It's written by the guy who I guess created Sons of Anarchy.
Sutter.
There you go.
Could be. So basically, it's this military guy, your ex-military, life has really gone to crap. He's driving probably half in the bag, swerves, cuts off this car, then sees on the news later that this car, and it shows you behind him the car swerving and going over a cliff. And then he gets home and sees the news that the family of four had been killed, and he's like, oh, God, you know, I've had enough. Writes a note to his dad, puts the gun in his mouth, pulls the trigger. Well, all of a sudden, there's this military guy standing there. And all of a sudden, he spits out the bullet. And he's like, wait, what? And so they start talking, and basically the military guy, who's like special military, you know, ghostly, yeah, whatever, is basically saying, you know, your journey isn't done. And, you know, we have other plans for you, but you have to, like, accept my card or something. And before he can do it, the landlord's banging on the door, and turns out the landlord's not really a landlord. It's some monster who's like, oh, he hasn't accepted yet. I can kill him. And Lucas going, I don't know what's going on. They get in this big fight. And then he's up on the roof, and he goes over the roof with this landlord guy, and he yells, I accept your offer or whatever. All of a sudden, boom, he's in Nazi Germany. And talking with this girl, it's like, okay, we need to get into this place. You have to pretend to be this guy. And he's just going along with it. And then all of a sudden, like, he sees that the landlord's like this monster. All of a sudden, he can see, like, the reality isn't what he thought it was. And then, so they're in Nazi Germany, and there's a German guard, SS guard. And all of a sudden, he looks at him, and he's this big demon guy. It was quite odd. Not bad, but just
odd.
Yeah, different. I will read the next one just to, okay, where are you going with this? So, those are mine. My 9 books. So, who's next?
I can go. I'll take 2.
Okay. Jeez. Make an effort.
Well, I did, but you took them all.
You didn't want to go. Who's that handsome?
I talked about them. Look at that.
Go ahead, sorry. It was Steve.
Oh.
Which read, Adam?
Archie 9. It was. I've liked this book. I've liked Archie since it's come back, and this issue deals with him and his relationship with Veronica. And Veronica now coming into his house, because the deal he has with Mr. Lodge is that he can't see him. Like, he doesn't want to see him, Archie.
Archie's just not allowed. Yeah. He's not allowed to hang out in the mansion. So there's any.
He's actually went to a lot to keep Archie out. Including adding sharks to a moat. So, I mean, he's a little out of control. I think they need to put him away. But so Veronica just, being at Archie's house, it's just not quite how she lives. So Archie's mom says, we like you here, but, you know, what can we do to make you feel more comfortable? So she tries to help out by bringing in, like, a ginormous television, which Archie's dad just loves. You know, doing all these things.
Brings in the chef and the butler.
Yeah, the chef and the butler and everybody, and to help out. And it just becomes a little, it starts to change Archie's mom's life a little too much. So, you know, while sitting outside, Archie and Veronica kind of overhear Archie's mom talking about, like, you know, she's kind of making things a little harder by trying to make them easier.
Yeah.
And how could she do this exactly? But so Veronica tries to help out by going to the grocery store, and that's just way too much for her.
Yeah.
But she actually has, like, a nervous breakdown in the store.
She calls Archie crying, and she's sitting in the middle of the grocery aisle, and she's saying, who's Pam?
Who's Pam? Because they need Pam spray. She just can't handle this, and, you know, he tries to... you know, make her feel better, saying, you know, she tried and she was trying to do that. But, you know, I missed a part before that where Archie was talking about this to Betty about, you know, he didn't think this is going to work and that she's going to break up with him.
Yeah, of course, Veronica has to call
right at the middle.
As they're trying to kiss.
They're about ready to kiss. You know, and they just, you know, it's going to be them ending up with each other. Yeah. And that's always how it kind of is, but... They never have yet. They've been around for how many years? It's fun. It's a fun book.
Yeah, I like the last half of the book was very melancholy with Archie playing the guitar and Betty underneath the car, you know, trying to fix it and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how to combat Veronica and
yeah.
And Archie's feelings for Veronica.
The odd thing is, Betty is dating somebody right now. She's dating that one guy, and they keep showing up.
Archie could just move to Utah and solve a lot of problems.
Really? It's just too much. I think Archie likes these problems.
What's that?
Would you?
I mean, Betty and Veronica?
There are
Betty and Veronica fighting over you. Would you move?
Yeah. He's got a point.
No, that's why I picked Utah, because he can just take both.
Well, if they go with him, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Then you don't have to deal with Mr. Hodge.
That, though?
What's that?
I don't think Utah as a state sanctions that, though. It just happens there.
They don't prosecute.
No.
That's the advantage. Although, technically, you can only be legally married to one. But,
to one.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Big Love on HBO. I know.
I used to like that show, actually.
So did I. It wasn't bad.
But the ending I kind of didn't like, but
anyway. Yeah. It wasn't the best last episode, but whatever. Different podcast, different day.
Yeah.
I like the...
And they're going to have a Big Love podcast.
what do you got to call it? What's the
that
name?
That just sounds odd.
Big
anyway.
Love with Patton.
Big Love with Patton Josh.
Well, he already said he's a bear, so...
Moving on.
That's another podcast. We're not thinking of a title for it. So one thing I liked in it was when he was playing the guitar in the issue. When he was sad, the music notes were sad. And when he was playing a happy song, they were all happy floating around. But I didn't get to read the little backup that they have. They always have those little classic issues.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was Mark Waid wrote the text piece, and I forget the artist's name, but he went on about the artist. How it was one of his favorite Archie artists of all time.
Yeah,
because
it was a classic. He I think it was the guy who did it for so long.
Like, yeah, he did one of the longest runs, and he made a point of saying, every time he just didn't draw the characters, they always had some kind of emotion or motion, in their moving somehow. They weren't static. They were always, feeling something. And he appreciated that about the artist.
It has to be tough being an Archie artist, though, because you have to keep that classic style all the time.
Yeah.
I love the
backups. That's why Frank Miller never did Archie.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine that?
That would actually be a pretty awesome book.
Yeah. Who knows? They might. I like the little backups, though, because they're putting in the classic issue, but not only putting it in, but having the little commentary about it, why they put it in.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's really respectful to
the
classic series since they have rebooted.
That's what I like. Mark Waid really respects the material and in the past of the series.
So, that was good. And then the last one, we talked a little bit about it, but Justice League 52. It was good. I liked it. Colin, you brought up the point last week that it should have probably been came out before,
at least before Action.
I have to agree on that because I think it would have felt better, being that he already had the stuff and he knew he was going to get it, the cape and whatnot. But the issue deals with him showing up in the armor, in this battle suit or whatever he wants to call it, at the Daily Planet, and the cape is behind glass because they somehow own it, I guess.
It had something to do with the fact that Clark didn't have any family to give it to.
Yeah, and they knew he was Clark. That's the thing. I didn't know because I didn't get to read the book before that, whatever it was called.
That crossover?
Yeah, the big event crossover that they just had. He was just talking to him. I like how the guards from the Daily Planet came up there. Like, you can't come in here. Like, they were going to do something. If Lex Luthor came into your business lobby, I'm pretty sure you would not be like, you can't come in here. Stop right there, but they did.
Perry White's a badass.
Yeah, that's right. They hire some good people there.
Perry White was kind of a D to Clark after his secret was revealed.
Yeah. Yeah, he always is. They always make it like that. Whenever like it's revealed at some point of who he is, he's always just like, you know, you could have told me. You know, you put all this on the newspapers and you wrote your own stories. And I mean, I get him. I get where he's coming from.
I would take it a step further. He's an editor for a major metropolitan newspaper.
You sure?
He's an investigative journalist, and you didn't realize if I put glasses on. I'm not Superman? Come on.
But he had the curl, too. I mean. Yeah.
Oh. Well, also, the revelation jeopardizes the paper that has been his life.
Yeah. I always thought, like, in Man of Steel, Lawrence Fishburne.
He knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Oh, yeah, he knows in that movie.
That's why, like, he
can't. They're not even going to play around with that nonsense.
No one cares what Clark Kent thinks about the Batman.
Yeah.
But what does Superman think?
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, mainly dealt with him wanting to get the cape, and you know, and then
so he bought the paper.
So he bought the paper, yeah. And he was just like, "It's his. Give it to him." They, you know, I gave it to him, and that's basically explains how he gets the cape.
Yeah, but didn't he already own a media company?
I don't.
Because wasn't the channel when he was fighting Doomsday? Wasn't it like W Lex or K Lex or something like that?
He owned Channel 52.
Okay,
with Ambush Bug.
Well, then that makes sense. I mean, throughout the years, I think he has owned a lot of.
Yeah, but that's something, because normally you can't own two papers in the same.
There was also in Superman, they always had this like other news agency that was like not a paper, but it was all like it was like the CNN of Metropolis.
Okay.
And I don't remember. I think it was like Global something. Global.
Yeah, I think it was GNN or.
GNN, yeah, Global News Network.
But it looked like a C, but not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they always had that for a long time.
That makes no sense either.
I think Clark worked.
They
for
should
that
be able to use CNN because it's owned by Time Warner.
Yeah.
They like Global News Network better,
I guess. They can copyright that.
They're like, that's a dumb name, CNN. Should have been Global. I liked it. I thought it was an odd conclusion issue. I think it has to be the oddest issue to come out for that because it's 52, and usually all of these have been kind of concluding the previous storyline. Yeah. This one kind of...
Well, yeah, but
I
that
guess
was...
it kind of did, but...
It was the way they did it, though, because you had the end of Doomsday, or not Doomsday, of Darkseid War,
yeah.
And then they had that Batman, you know, basically it was a Robin issue.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it was a one-shot.
That was a decent issue.
Yeah, you know...
It was really good.
And not that I want to see him stretch out the Darkseid War a little bit longer, but...
I think they
that would have
copped out of the whole
but that
apocalypse
was
thing, though.
But that was the thing, is, you know, you left yourself with two issues to fill.
Mm-hmm.
One was really good. This one was a letdown.
It was a fill-in.
Yeah.
It was fill-in for what was going on. I mean, it was good, but it was definitely fill-in. It wasn't necessary, though.
Yeah. And then timing-wise, obviously, like you said, it should have come out earlier.
Yeah. So.
Adam.
Oh, I couldn't do anything about it. I tried.
So you can't schedule these things.
No. Can't schedule comic books.
Can't.
When two shows up after one, I'm amazed.
Sometimes the next week. Oh, wait, sorry. We'll get to that.
No, that's three.
Well, that's it. That's all I read.
Right?
I'm going to wait for Josh for that one.
Okay.
Aquaman. Let me also read that.
No. I read Aquaman.
It was in my pile. I didn't get to it.
I really
read
enjoyed
Aquaman.
The story. I did not do the art.
I'm sorry. Adam was talking over you, Josh.
I said I really enjoyed the story for Aquaman, but I did not enjoy the art.
Fair enough. The art didn't so much bother me. And again, it's, you know, it's another character I don't typically read, but I gave it a shot because it was Rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
But this... Seadrift Station, I mean...
Spindrift.
What is it?
Spindrift.
Okay, Spindrift. This was the same station that was in Future's End.
Yeah, it was built in, the third to last issue of the previous Aquaman run.
Okay. So, you know, what? Basically, it's the grand opening.
No, that's not the same stations in Future's End. You're talking about the 5 years skip ahead issue?
Yeah.
No, that was something. That was a different. That was a colony.
Okay, because I thought he specifically... But I thought he specifically said that that was meant to be the embassy between Atlantis and the rest of...
It was, he did say that.
Right, but that's what this Spindrift station is.
It's
the embassy.
5 years down the road, you know, their idea was that it suddenly becomes some sort of colony instead, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to end up coming to fruition.
So, you know, it's the opening, basically the grand opening, and, you know...
People are coming there to take their posts from different countries.
They had a British Navy officer, and, you know, her whole thing is she just wanted to talk to Aquaman about an important intelligence matter and kept getting pushed off.
Yeah, and she's going to be actually stationed there permanently.
Right. And then eventually, you know, Black Manta springs his trap, and he's going to wipe out the station, basically. Somehow, some of the rooms are essentially underwater, and then other rooms are designed for air breathers.
In the previous arc of Aquaman, like we saw when they were conducting an investigation, they had like some federal agents there to navigate through the station. Like in some points, they had to go through these submerged rooms, you know, with guides to get to, you know, different parts of the embassy.
It just seems like it, you know, since Atlanteans can breathe oxygen. It seems like an odd design choice.
Like, if it's meant to be a permanent home for some you know, of the Atlanteans, like a permanent station, I could see them having rooms there where they could be in their natural habitat. You know,
living quarters, I could understand.
But even if they're doing work that doesn't involve someone from the surface, why should they have to, you know, work in a room that's purely air if there's the capabilities to give them their natural...
Why do they have to change their ways for you?
Well, I'll explain exactly why, because what happens when there's a breach in one of those rooms...
That means you have to be a Penguins fan since you're in Pittsburgh now, Pat.
That would never happen.
You have to adapt to us.
Yeah, that would never happen, sorry.
We'll get you a hat.
Hats, it fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Adam knows hats.
Oh, you.
He's an
ass hat, but...
Aww. No, just Adam is always wearing a hat. I do. That's all.
You do. That's true. I don't think I've ever seen you without a hat.
You don't want to.
I've never seen Adam without a hat.
Yeah.
What if you're horrible about it? It's just like, yeah.
No, that's just it.
Josh wasn't able to see it.
As many years as I've been here, I don't think I've ever seen Adam without a hat.
You don't want to see
it. Not even accidentally, like someone knocked it off or took
it. The tattoo was really, really funny. But
have you, Colin?
Yes.
Is it a unicorn?
He guessed it.
So I figured.
Did he get a poop emoji tattooed on his head?
What?
A poop emoji. No, he wouldn't do that.
I'm not in that generation. It's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Captain Eyeball.
No, it's that Twilight Zone episode. You ever see that one with the guy with the soda jerk and he has the third eye? He's an alien.
Yeah.
And you like list it up.
That's what it is.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's exactly what's there.
Yeah, so that's why underwater doesn't work, because when that breaches, it floods the part where people who can't breathe water have problems.
Yeah, I like the whole like political aspect of it, but I liked Aquaman and Mira trying to, you know, establish this, you know, bridge between the two worlds. Mm-hmm. I just think it sets up a lot of interesting stories.
Yeah,
with this, and it was cool seeing, you know, Mira really step up after the attack, then finding out that's who he was really targeting in the first place, you know, wanting to hit Aquaman where it would hurt the most.
Right. Well, I don't think he's going to kill her off in issue two. That seems a bit early.
She's not going to be killed off. But no, I really enjoyed this story so far. So some of the faces from the art I wasn't a huge fan of.
Okay.
But story-wise, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. And the other one I read was the last issue of Robin, Son of Batman.
I'm behind on that.
Yeah, you're not missing anything.
I figured I wasn't.
It really should have concluded with the last issue. Instead, it was him and Nobody and the guy that looks like he's from the Munchkin game.
I mean, Nobody was there at all?
Yeah, Nobody.
Nobody was there.
Somehow, he was supposed to take him back to whatever island, and instead they're sitting there eating like at a hamburger stand, and then they take Goliath and go off and fight this Munchkin kid's dad.
The whole explanation was just like, wow.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure you're telling it perfectly.
No, and that's like, I read it. I read this whole series, and I just don't care.
Now, Damien was eating at a hamburger stand?
Yeah.
Was he eating a hamburger?
I believe so.
Because he's a vegetarian.
Well, I don't know. Then maybe it was a soy burger.
Now, was it a Five Guys or an In-N-Out?
Was it Five? I mean, we're just...
It was a fat burger.
30 East.
Yeah.
They went to In-N-Out Burger.
No.
No, I don't know.
Big Kahuna Burger.
Yeah, Big Kahuna Burger.
He got that in the spray.
And he had a spray. That's exactly where I was going with it. It would have been better to just stop at issue 12. I don't know why they came out with an issue 13 just to come out with an issue 13.
Yeah, that is kind of dumb.
I think Patrick Gleason wrote it. Maybe they just owed him another book that he had to do for his contract.
Is he doing anything outside of that book now, after this? Is he doing anything for...
He's doing the Batman-Superman kid book, I think.
Or Superman.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they haven't announced that one yet. I mean, they've announced it, but they haven't solicited it.
Oh, okay.
He's the artist. And then they're putting who on as the writer. I knew they had... I thought they had a writer on that book. Oh, well.
I thought it was him.
But he's writer-artist on Superman also, with Tomasi.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I got. Dave?
The Autumn Lands, number 11. This is another good issue. A lot more questions raised at the end of this issue.
A lot of topless statues.
These topless statues.
Topless statues.
Yes. Called the... They run into these topless statues, the Galadians or something like that. I don't know how you pronounce
Ooh,
it,
la, la.
But I'm saying
Goliath. That's what the goat said, too.
That's what the goat said, and in one
Mono
of
the...
Goats of those, are showing up a lot more in comic books than you've ever expected.
I know. One of them's like, "Do you wish to lie down with me, Mr. Goat?"
Yeah.
The hell?
They had to have... Like, when they first met these statues, they had to... know like a code.
A code word. Yeah.
And the goat's code word was what was it? I don't even know if I can say this podcast without you. They were, you know, tatas and
safe word?
And and milk
what
bag.
What was the safe word?
And that's basically what he thought it was. And it was the name of I don't think we
text
really
it to me.
I don't think we really know exactly. We know what it is, but we don't know. It's like a name of a person.
No, it's Henry Higgins, who is from the play Pygmalion.
Oh, okay. That's why when he had to look it up.
Yeah. My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
Okay, so when he had to look it up. So he goes, the biggest problem I had with this.
That went right over his head. That's why I was
this book. This book I had a problem with because he kept having using his tech, and he never really used tech too much before that. Like, even his eyes had like computers in them and stuff that he was like looking up, certain things like that, information to figure out what the code word was. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of odd. Also, this book is usually severely delayed, so
yeah.
That didn't help.
Yeah, the thing is, these creatures, they're stone creatures, they're human-like, and that's a question all in itself, because they're the only other thing that look like Leroy, the great champion.
Yes.
And then at the end, they're like, we want to die.
Yeah, and that was their thing. They, for some reason...
They invite them in, and they feed them, and they have food and drink, and it's in this big hall, and...
Leroyd.
Yeah.
Is suspicious, and so is Dunstan.
Yeah.
But the goat is just, he thinks this is normal. But yeah. And while they're having this feast, and they're helping him because they've been wondering, like, they've been doing everything they're supposed to for this many years, and they're just like, can we die now? And that's how it leaves off.
Yeah.
And even though, like, the last page was like, what? You know, yeah. the letter page, which they didn't really have anything, any letters to this.
No, this was.
But that's all it ended with. So it was pretty quick. Really, you didn't learn too much about what was going on. You just learned of these new characters that exist. You also didn't really figure out why the sheep village, why their water supply has been poisoned. It also seems that the water is, like, affecting... I think that might have been the last issue, where the water was affecting nature. And certain things, like the frogs had, like, four faces on them, multiple faces, kind of like the Simpsons fish. Blinky.
Blinky the three.
But...
Yeah, they didn't get into much of that at all.
But they questioned the statues. They were like, did you do this?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, nothing like that. They just kind of introduced these characters. So we'll see what happens in the next one.
Yeah, but it was very good. Next, James Bond, number 7.
Start of the new arc.
Sort of a new arc. Bond comes to America. He has to extract this agent in the Turkish consulate whose cover has been blown. So there's a lot of stuff with Bond interacting with the CIA agent, and they have
Felix
a lot of
Slater.
Yeah,
it's Felix.
And they have a lot of fun with that, of Bond reacting to America in the CIA. And at one point he has to get rid of his gun, and he just throws it in the garbage bin. And he says, I don't have time to give it to a child or a mentally ill person, so I'm just going to throw it in here and they can find it for themselves. There's a good, once when Bond gets the agent whose cover's been blown, there's a good shoot 'em out scene, good action scene. I love the action scenes in this. It's just the way Jason Master draws this is just really... It's kinetic and, like, just the way he does it. It's hard to explain. And just the way he does it's really good. And that's about it for that. And at the end of that, there's a bomb. There's a bomb threat at the airport at LAX, so they can't get out of the country, and they're stuck in America, and they don't have any weapons. So that's how it ends, and it's very good. And you think the first arc, I don't know, it kind of trailed off a little bit, but...
Yeah, it did, a little bit.
But this was a good start to this one. And Doctor Strange.
I didn't read it. The same thing with James Bond. I bought it, and I saw him today, and I thought I read him. And then when I got here and I looked at my book, I forgot to read those.
Okay.
Spoil it.
They're wrapping up the last...
More than just this.
This is part 4 of the Last Days of Magic arc.
Did we find out what came out of the basement? Or out of the well?
You get a look at it, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it ends, of Strange showing up at the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Okay.
With all the empirical people there, too. These people, the empirical, they've been stealing all the magic in the world, and Strange and all the other magic users have been collecting all the scraps. And in this issue, Strange does find out about Wong, but what he's been doing.
Okay.
I don't know if I should say that or not.
You go ahead. You can spoil it. I don't care.
Wong has these people who are kind of like a defense for Doctor Strange, human shields for him, kind of. So that's where it ends. I think it's going to wrap up in the next issue, but it's been good. It's a solid Strange story. They've been the best thing about this. They go into that. There's a cost to pay for using magic. And that's that's an overall theme of the
That was part of
the
first
series.
Arc where he would do something and all of a sudden he was throwing off.
Yeah, yeah. They talk about that a lot and all the issues. So that makes it cool. And that's all I had. You know, I have to mention, I read the first issue of the Star Wars Force Awakens.
Was it awesome? It didn't sell awesome.
Oh, my gosh, it was awful.
Awful?
It was awful. Yes. Nothing about them. It was just phoned.
It's very timely.
Yes, very timely.
Yeah, since it's like 4 months after the DVD came out.
It was just, I mean, it only went up to, I guess it's four issues. This issue only went up to the part where they get the Millennium Falcon. But, man, was this thing phoned in. There was, like, nothing, no extraneous style, you know, any other dialogue. Didn't add anything. And no other dialogue than what was in the movie.
So this is just a straight adaptation?
Yeah, it's just an adaptation, uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Josh just sounded like a natural disaster. President is like watching a screen. He's like, "Oh my god!" Like that's what he just sounded like in that. Like it was some sort of.
That's actually a pretty good compliment for Josh.
Yeah, good job.
It is. Thank you. I'll take it.
Nice. He almost spit out his Coke. Good job, Josh. Well timed.
It was good timing.
Yeah, it just had no flair in the writing or the art or anything. Oh my goodness.
So it didn't expand.
Not that you're expecting a lot from a movie adaptation. But
somebody was telling me just recently that the books, like, they had a little more to them that were cut out from the thing. And that they could have been adapted from that. But
they could still do that. It may just be that nothing in the first quarter of the book.
I bet they're just making this book just like the movie. Just for that reason, just to sell
it as a movie adaptation. It's not...
Cash grab.
The first page, you know, they do the scroll, and then the first page is, you know, when Kylo Ren is captured Poe Dameron at the start. You know, there's nothing... It's just so...
So really I'd be already just going to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're better off just watching the movie.
If they want to improve it, the first thing you got to do is keep the damn mask on. He lost all credibility when the mask came off.
He got so sad.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're a sad little Vader. Put the mask back on.
But Darth Vader is a little scary underneath, you know?
True. For sure, if it's a cash grab, if they also rebrand it as Star Wars A New Hope. Sorry, Dave.
No, I was gonna say I read this comic book. It's called Star Wars: The Force Awakens. It's like what actually happens after Return of the Jedi. I couldn't believe it. They should make a movie out of this or something.
Yeah, I'll just stick with the Thrawn trilogy because that was better.
I remember when before the Spider-Man movie, with the Sam Raimi movie, that they brought out the adaptation before. Mm-hmm. So you read it, and you know, it wasn't quite the movie. Like, they had some differences to it. But, like, makes sense, but Dorian is really
But
dumb.
You could never do Willem Dafoe justice on a comic page.
Exactly. Can't do it.
That's all I got.
Okay, Josh.
All right. First one for me, Divinity 2, number 3. I really enjoyed I'm enjoying this miniseries a whole lot so far. I like the first Divinity a lot, but man, I think this one is you know far better than the previous one, which is you know high praise for Matt Kent what he's doing. This issue at the end of issue 2, it looked like Mishka had killed Abram. The Unity team, you know, enlisted. Abram's help. Abram was the original Divinity from the first miniseries. Enlisted his help to you know confront and take down his former you know colleague, this other cosmonaut who now has these godlike powers. And he was trying to appeal to her humanity, and she would have none of it. And she just thought of him as weak and broken, and it looked like she had killed him off. In this issue, you know, we see that he's still around, and he's saying that she can't. You know, kill him, and they are almost having this chase through time, and they keep bouncing from the current time period to, you know, different times in the past. And she decides she wants to try and use her godlike powers to erase him, you know, by altering things in the past. And you see him, you know, pulling things in the, back from, like, Ivar Time Warp, where we find out about the, you know, timeline protection and how the universe won't really let you make drastic changes to the timeline that could impact, you know, how time flows. And you can see, like, just, you know, how she's trying to really fight against that and how he's continuing to not want to take her on in a physical manner, but he's still trying to appeal to her and try and convince her to change what she's doing. But just the way it was done, it was really well done. And knowing that Volume 3 of this is going to be this Stalinverse, you can definitely see where it's setting up for that. But I've really enjoyed this miniseries. It's a shame there's only one issue left, but I think this is been progressing really well, and I'm very excited to see where it's going to go with the next, or see how they end up with the Stalinverse, and then see where he goes, where Matt Kemp goes with that miniseries. Last night, I read a trade that came out last week, Star Trek Manifest Destiny, and this is one of the best Star Trek stories, modern Star Trek stories that I have, you know, seen in any, you know, form of media in a while. It takes place in the JJ verse of Star Trek, but the premise is that the, you know, original crew, they are, you know, in their 5-year mission of exploration. They've gone out further than any other Federation vessel has, and they have encountered a Federation distress signal. And they're kind of thrown off because no other Federation ships have been out that to that point. So they go to investigate, and they find out that it's a trap that was laid by these rogue Klingons. Well, I shouldn't say rogue. They're these Klingons that have this, you know, very high-tech ship, which is a ship we've seen from the original series movies and, like, Next Generation, the Klingon battlecruiser. And the ship, the crew is made up of all these Klingons that have no house. They're essentially, you know, orphans among the Klingon society. And their captain decides that he wants to try and, you know, reign control of the empire by doing things differently. And he's a Klingon that will throw honor to the side if it means accomplishing his goal, which makes him extremely dangerous. But it's just the whole trade read out as a fantastic Star Trek movie, a very unique Star Trek movie. And the end of the first issue, after you have the Klingon battlecruiser and the Enterprise going toe-to-toe, and you have kind of a disabled Enterprise, you see the Klingon battlecruiser launch dozens of Klingons in space aimed right at the Enterprise to start a infantry assault on the, you know, exterior hull of the Enterprise itself. And just it leads to a really cool, you know, seen in the second issue, but it was really well done, a really great miniseries. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. And the last one, which I believe Adam read, was Rye 14.
Yep.
So this showed the creation of, but it showed another Rye in the history of the, you know, different Ryes that have been father's right hand in New Japan's history. And we find out that there's a new Rye essentially every 100 years. He creates a new Rye that's a bit different based on how society's at that time and what society needs at that time. And he won't let them live past 100 years because he feels that he needs to have that new one that is geared towards the current climate of New Japan. And the current Rye we're seeing at the end of her tenure is as the Rye of New Japan. And
her name is actually Sai in this.
What's that?
Her name was Sai.
Well, they called her Rai sometime. Like, he referred to her as Rai, but when people actually spoke to her, they called her Sai.
Yeah.
But she wants to inspire, but at the same time, we're seeing the initial inklings of the positrons, the android companions for the humans, starting to put together a resistance against how they've been treated. We see humans kind of treat them very poorly, even though these positrons seem to have, you know, a fully blown AI and emotions. the humans will treat them as if they are, you know, just standard objects to do whatever with. We see one that's being used for humans to hunt for sport. So all these positrons look like they're going to, you know, cause this big event where it looks like they're going to turn on the humans and possibly attack the humans in this rise, trying to hurry in and stop it. And she finds out that they're not going to attack the humans because they're hardwired to not be able to attack the humans, but they're going to try and record the humans massacring them so that way they can spread that out, you know, to make everyone aware of exactly what's happening. But it was again, a really, like, kind of gut-wrenching story, which is kind of how the first, you know, the previous issue of Rye was. It's really well done showing the evolution of this, you know, this character through the years up to where we have the current Rye and the current New Japan and the current father now in 4001 AD. It's a nice supplement to 4001 AD, but certainly can stand on its own as, you know, just an arc within the Rye book without having to read 4001 AD also, and vice versa.
I thought that this issue in particular showed that Father just doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get how, like, what he's doing exactly. He's trying, but it's just not working.
I think he gets it, but I think he's ruthless. He'll go to any means necessary.
Yeah.
Whatever he has to do justifies, you know, his results.
Yeah. He just, it's just, some of this was a good issue. It really was. Just a lot of interesting things, you know, happened in between, like, showing, I like how it showed, like, the previous rise in between the first one we saw and this one, just to show what they've needed over the time. And then when they introduced, like, you know, one to come in after her, since she's getting to her point in time.
Yeah, and the next one is very ruthless.
He's very ruthless. And so it just shows what they need. And not only that, it shows that it's not the first time that Father has let a sector go, which I thought was kind of neat.
He will definitely, you know, call the herd if necessary.
And the explanation of it, like that, some things just become like a cancer and they need to be taken out to, you know, kind of like Ozymandias and Watchmen, where, you know, you kill a million to save a billion. You know, that's kind of his thought process, Father.
Yeah, it's a great analogy.
Yeah, so no, I really like this book. This Rye has to be one of my favorite of Valiant. I really like Archer and Armstrong, but fantastic. I like this for its own reason.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love how we're seeing the history of Rye, but we're also seeing how Father became what it is now.
Yeah.
In the current, you know, the current event.
Yeah. So I'm curious of what's going to happen after 4001 AD, like where that's going to go. Like, can this book, like, what will they do after that? You know, is New Japan going to be a thing?
Yeah, I don't know if this book will continue.
Yeah, that's my big question about it. But it's really good, really worth picking up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if after 4001 wraps that Rai in that universe, or that segment of the universe, takes a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they might be able to do something on the on Earth, you know, dealing with that. But I just I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be neat to see what they do, or if they do anything. So,
No, but it was great.
Yeah,
Colin, did you put that 1 in 10 in my folder?
Yeah,
for Rye. Cool. Thank you. And that's You're it welcome. For me.
That's it.
Yeah, three things.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
Looking for the cue. Come on, Pat, go. We got 4001 AD Shadow Man number 1.
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 15. I know Adam's excited.
Yay.
And so is Matt. I know Matt,
a
new subscriber.
I've liked it. It's been a good
Spider-Man
from that book.
Because of Adam, talked him into it. Yeah.
I talked him. Yeah,
did.
Matt Thomas.
Yeah.
Don't know.
That's okay. You should. He keeps threatening to come to the podcast to set me straight on Marvel, but...
Everyone threatens, but no one ever does.
I know. I guess I'm too intimidating.
He can
that'll get him here.
He can set you straight here. He's got, while you're working.
Maybe you won't be here next week. So we'll
right. Back,
so.
There you go. Aquaman.
Oh, I won't be there.
The vacation.
Sorry.
What?
I probably won't be there next week either.
Oh, Josh.
Oh.
Well, Debbie's out of town, and so it's just Adele and I, and I don't know if she's going to come sit at the podcast for 2 hours. So.
I don't want to sit at the podcast for 2 hours either. So I'm with her on this.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'll hurry up and get through them. Aquaman 2 and then Aquaman Rebirth number 1 second print. Batman number 2. Batman 66 meets Steed and Mrs. Peel number 1. Bounty number 1.
They couldn't call that one
Avengers, no. Avengers. Batman meets the Avengers, no. That would cause a little confusion.
They should have done it for that reason.
Yeah. Bounty number 1, which is a Dark Horse book, and then Brick number 1, which I think is a Boom book. Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 11, so we'll see what new group they can bring to a funeral. Captain America, Steve Rogers, number 1, we're getting some sick and prints. There's a Saiz version and a Steranko version. Civil War 2, Kingpin, number 1. This is by Matthew Rosenberg of Four Kids Walk Into a Bank and We Can Never Go Home is writing this one.
Yeah, wasn't that supposed to come out this week? Four Kids Walk Into a Bank?
Yeah, it came out.
That's
the one you screwed the pooch on.
There we go. Okay. Civil War 2, X-Men number 2. Daredevil Punisher number 3. This is one Pat and I were talking about because number 2 came out today. So number 3 is coming out next week. Yay, scheduling. Deadpool versus Gambit number 2. Detective Comics 934 second print. Doctor Who Supremacy of the Cybermen. This is the book, I think, Doctor Who Day is next Saturday. So this is tying in.
Who Day.
Empress number 4, Fix number 4, Flash Rebirth number 1 second print. I know Josh is excited about this one. Flintstones number 1.
I am.
I know.
I didn't realize that, Josh.
Yeah, it's written by Mark Russell, who also did Prez.
I kept hearing that it's kind of like a social commentary, and I was like, really, Flintstones? But then when I saw it's him, I thought, well, I thought really about Prez, too, and it worked out still.
Yeah.
So, Future Quest number 2. I know Adam's been demanding this.
Yes.
It's a good book.
Green Arrow number 2. Green Lanterns number 2. And also the Green Lanterns Rebirth number 1 second print. Invincible Iron Man number 11. The Jack Kirby Mighty Thor Artist Edition. I'm excited about that one. Justice League Rebirth number 1. Kim and Kim, which is another one from Black Mask. Lone Ranger Green Hornet number 1. Marvel's Doctor Strange Prelude number 1, because the movie's right around the corner?
November.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's a corner.
Miraculous number 1, which I guess is based on a cartoon. This is coming from Action Lab. Moon Knight number 4. Paper Girls number 6. Peanuts Friends Forever 2016 special.
I don't know why they call it that, because Lucy's a biatch. She's not friendly to anybody.
Punisher number 3.
Lucy's not in it.
Renato Jones.
Title change now.
Renato.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Renato Jones 1% number 3. Shadow Man by Garth Ennis and Ashley Wood. That's the old Acclaim stuff, but I didn't realize that was Ashley Wood drawing that. That's quite a team. Spider-Woman number 9 is a Civil War tie-in. Star Wars Han Solo number 2 and Poe Dameron number 4.
Because they're totally not the same
Which
character.
Is odd, only because it says Han Solo 2 of 5, and then Poe Dameron 4 has no of.
I think it's an ongoing.
Is it? Okay.
It's an ongoing, yeah.
She can't get enough of him flying sideways. Superman number 2, and the Superman number 1 Rebirth second print. Superman The Coming of the Superman number 6, that's the Neil Adams one.
Yay?
Adam's excited.
It was more of a yay.
Okay.
That was very exciting.
It was a yay, not a yay!
Yeah, exactly.
Throwaways That's number different. 1, which is an image book. Totally Awesome Hulk number 8. We're getting closer to seeing what's going on with the Hulk. Vote Loki number 2. Oh. Walking Dead 156. And then the Wonder Woman Rebirth number 1 second print. So... That's what's coming next week.
You were talking about Future Quest coming out next week. You also have new prints of that, of the first issue.
Well, those came in last week. Those are on the shelf. So or this week.
If you want to catch up.
Yes.
Catch up? You mean read the one issue?
Yeah, read the one issue to get caught up. So you can normally find me in the store, but I'll only be here Thursday and Friday, and then I'm gone for like 10 days, which is kind of nice, just including my normal days off. So I'm missing the beginning of July. Well, a little time to recharge. You can always reach me through the website at email,
On Facebook at Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter at PGH Comics. Probably won't be posting anything to Instagram while I'm gone, unless it's pictures, you know, shark taking my leg off or something. What?
Give Adam your credentials.
I don't know about that.
Would you be happy if a shark took your leg off?
Not particularly. Why would I be happy?
You're usually wanting to remove your leg.
True, but...
Now you get it. Yeah.
That's probably not the way he wants to do it.
Yeah, no.
Just saying.
He could wheel around here like Professor X.
No, he could get the blade thing, so hop around.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
No, we're going to try not to lose any appendages to sharks in the ocean.
Well, I mean, I'll take all the fun out of it.
Sorry.
Jellyfish thing?
So, yeah, if I'm not here and Josh isn't here and nobody knows how to put it online. So there probably won't be a podcast next week. You guys might record one, just...
We can record it, but...
Yeah, it
will get an extra.
Yeah, it'll be a two in 1 week. So sorry about the sabbatical, but...
you need it.
I'm going to recharge my batteries. And...
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
One day.